This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour number two, as Jason Lloyd is in for Ken Carmen. I'm getting reaction, Jason, at the end of the segment, saying that nothing could trump LeBron James's story and the storybook. I can't call it an ending because it didn't end, but the championship pursuit. And, you know, we've wondered that before because we've built up, like when Baker was here, we were doing the topics on this station and everybody was doing it in town. Is this bigger than LeBron? Is this bigger than LeBron? And I would come in and go, guys, and I would sound like the guy, the wet blanket every time, because it would sound like I was trying to dampen spirits when all I was doing was saying, no, 2016 was so special and it was a culmination of not one but two LeBron runs, that all those memories were coinciding, and then it ended up as a championship. It was the best all time. And I necessarily want to go there here in this segment, but I couldn't believe how steadfast you were, because that has been a thought forever, that like, how could anything trump LeBron? But people say, well, football, it's football, and football's bigger and the Browns are bigger. And I'm like, I still will maintain that LeBron in this town was as big as the Browns. It might not have been the Cavs. It was a LeBron thing. But you mean the way that the national media covered things here, the way that everybody in town was, even if you weren't even an NBA fan, it had casual fans in this town.
Yeah.
I just don't know that anything could trump that. And people will want it to. People will want it,
right,
cling on to anything,
sure,
that is Browns oriented and try to make it bigger. But I just don't think, I think you'd be lying to yourself.
People have a short memory and forget what it was like before that title. People forget what it was like around here. And I'll tell you something else about the Browns, and this probably won't sit well with people either. The Browns have lost a generation of fans. I've seen it with my oldest son and like that generation. My oldest is 23. 10 years from now, 15 years from now, when those people have disposable income, you think they're going to spend it on this crap? I don't. Like, LeBron created a generation of Cavs fans that previously didn't exist here, and the Browns have lost a generation of fans. They have lost the younger fans. Like, our generation and up, yeah, like, whatever. Your diehards and whatever. The younger ones, with social media and everything else going on, and what a punchline that this organization has been for 25 years, you think they're going to buy season tickets? No, they're not. So I guess it's like two different arguments we're having here, but this team is nowhere near a Super Bowl. It's not even close to a Super Bowl. And we've been talking about a Super Bowl for 50 years and it hadn't happened yet. You think it's going to happen in the next three or four? And as this generation of like 18 to 25, as they get older and they start to have families, I highly, highly doubt that they are going to spend, especially if it's in a dome in Brook Park and the prices that come with it. I'm just telling you, the Browns are in for a reckoning. I wholeheartedly believe that because they've lost a generation of fans with what's gone on the last 25 years.
Listen to tough talking Jason Lloyd at The Athletic, 216-474-0092. Or getting pushback. I mean, Charles says, Browns and social media reaction brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, says, Browns winning the Super Bowl would be bigger and mean more to more people in Northeast Ohio than any Cavs or Guardians championship. It's not even close. I think Charles is kind of hoping that's the case. I mean, he's got Browns fan, Browns dog in his actual name. And I think, you know, the prevailing wisdom is, well, it's Brownstown. It's a Brownstown. But I come back to it. I'm sorry. LeBron owned this town.
Absolutely.
For those years. And remember, Browns were bad. Browns were really bad in 2015, 2016. Yeah. Browns were really, really
bad.
We
were in Orlando, and I asked LeBron about the winless parade, the winless season parade. And he gave the most unbelievable response. It was the Wild Wild West days of The Athletic, and I tweeted a verbatim everything he said, including the 9 F-bombs, and got a call from the founder of The Athletic, and was like, yeah, you know, we probably shouldn't do that again. But it was unbelievable. The Browns were making fun of the Browns. And what do you expect? And you got to be better than that. And, yeah, I'd be mad, too, if I was a player, but you know, why don't you try winning? And it was an incredible. Yeah, I mean, the Browns at that time were an absolute disaster.
Robin Medina takes issue. Go ahead, Rob. Anytime anybody wants to take issue, Jason, I'm all about it. Right to the front of the line. Go ahead, Rob.
Guys, you guys are killing me. Are you guys really listening to what you're saying? If Kenny Pickett wins the Super Bowl, he will be bigger than LeBron James.
Stop it.
Immediately.
Please, stop
immediately.
It. It's not, Rob, that's not true. There's no chance. What? Yeah, I mean, in Philadelphia, I mean, Carson Wentz and Nick Foles teamed up to win a Super Bowl, and they moved on. I mean, they moved on. Philly cares about football, right? I mean, could you say that those guys aren't bigger than Allen Iverson even?
Like that parade that they had for the Cavs. Mm-hmm. If the Browns won, that would be like a little gathering. I mean, this town would go crazy if the
Indians, of course the town would go crazy. Yes, of course the town
would
go
crazy for a Guardians World Series too.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that, like, personally, I hate LeBron. I mean, sure, he won us a championship, but
he won a championship.
Sure, that easy thing that he did.
So what that he left? So what?
That easy thing that no other athlete could pull off in Cleveland in how many years?
If he can, listen,
if Kenny Pickett won, Kenny Pickett would have a statue in whatever you call it, on the center of Cleveland.
No, he wouldn't. Robin, 2014, did you like LeBron in 2014?
You know what? I do like LeBron, period. I do like him.
You just said you don't.
You said you hate him.
But I don't think basketball is bigger than baseball and football in Cleveland.
Well, it's
I don't
not
like him because he that, left, but he's a great player.
Thank you, Rob. It's not. Basketball's not bigger than the Browns. But that's what's so special about somebody like LeBron James, that he could put a whole city on its back. By the way, a whole city that hated his guts.
Yes.
How many years prior?
Yes.
And then they were back on. How many athletes in the history of not just Cleveland in sports can get a whole town to hate him, and then a whole town has to come around and apologize and say, all right. Like, who could pull that off?
The thing that blows, if in 2014, when LeBron came back, we all remember, he's on the stage in Akron, right? He's got the microphone. What if he told you in 2014, listen, I'm going to bring you a championship, but then I'm going to leave again in a few years. But I'm going to get you that title, and then I'm going to go.
You'd sign up for it.
Absolutely.
You'd sign up for it.
Everybody would.
Now, your feelings would still get hurt in the meantime.
And in 2014, you wouldn't care. You'd say, give me the title. I don't care. Will you bring a title? You can do whatever you want. I don't care. And then he leaves, and people want to get mad at him again. It's like, okay, come on.
But, you know, the other part of that is, and the phones are jumping now, 216-474-0092. I was going to ask Jason who's going to be the starting quarterback week one, if it was going to be Kenny Pickett. The other part of this is, like, a caller's calling up saying, Kenny Pickett, if he won it. But that's the thing. He has zero chance to win it. LeBron gave you a chance every single
year. He's one of the greatest three. I don't care where you put him, one, two, or three. He's one of the greatest players to ever play this game. He's going to the Hall of Fame. He grew up down the street, and people want to dismiss the championship. It blows my mind. A city that can't win anything, he actually delivered it, and people want to dismiss it. It's unbelievable.
And if you're curious, maybe this one hits too close to home, Owen. if you're curious, like, we know not only in Cleveland is football bigger than basketball, obviously. It's bigger almost everywhere in this country. But who's bigger, LeBron James or Patrick Mahomes?
LeBron.
LeBron.
It's not even close.
It's not close. Owen?
Yeah, I mean, he's been playing for 20 years.
But it's not only that. Like, his...
Patrick
I mean,
Mahomes was like 5 when he started.
Sure, but globally.
Is,
I mean,
you're right. Is Mahomes beloved on
again,
other
that's
continents?
That's a 20-year run of dominance, though, too.
Yes, but do you think even Tom Brady globally...
I was just going to say that.
And Tom Brady is as big as it gets here. I don't think
Tom Brady in Europe versus LeBron, it's not close.
I just think there comes certain athletes that can transcend it. Tiger, obviously, transcended golf. Golf is not bigger than anything.
Right.
But he transcended it. Serena Williams.
Yep.
Like, there just are these athletes that come around and they change everything. And that's LeBron, when you think about... Now, I can poke holes at how good this was for sports, but there is no denying his influence over sports and the player empowerment stuff. I mean, you just saw Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett, now they called his bluff.
See, that's a much better argument for LeBron to me, is that he tried to influence the way the NFL goes about their business and succeeded for a month, maybe. And then they and still
these
succeeded.
These guys all want to be LeBron.
Myles Garrett has $40 million guaranteed a year now.
All these NFL players would love to be LeBron. They would love to get that kind of guaranteed money time and time again. Yeah. And it's just nobody that could pull something like that off. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Jim in Strongsville. Next up on the Fan. How are you, Jim?
I'm good, guys. Listen, I think you guys are being biased because of your basketball passion. I understand what you're saying, but I'll put this comparison. I don't know who's bigger in Europe, Messi or LeBron?
Oh, Messi,
right?
Yeah. Soccer is the biggest global.
Okay, so let's say we started a soccer team here in Cleveland, and Messi came here in his prime, and he was really good, and he won us a championship. I mean, it's the same thing. I'm sorry. I get it, what you're saying. The NFL just – look, what's your radio station, 90% of what you guys talk about, what people want to talk about
3%.
Is the Browns. So to come in and
but
say,
it wasn't
like,
when
well,
LeBron was here. It was not when LeBron was here. LeBron dominated our conversations every day.
He did. But and Jason, I'll say this too. You're saying lost a generation. You're missing the point of why people have season tickets. I'm a season ticket holder. Not because the Browns are good. Not because we're because I like to go out on Sunday and booze and sit down there for 6 hours before the game. That it's a culture.
Sure,
it's
Jim.
But Jim, you're right. Can I ask you how old are you?
Oh, come on, Jim.
Roughly.
51.
51. That's my point.
Wow.
Yeah, but you're telling me when you go, I know the media lot and all that's below you, but if you walk to the media lot, there's plenty of young kids in there. You're a high roller. You don't want to get your Mercedes.
He wouldn't toil down there in the Muni lot. Thanks, Jim. I got to go.
When those kids in their 20s have to pay for their own tickets, when they got to pay for season tickets, I just don't think they're going to.
All right, that was Adam Schefter yesterday. Seems to have a new rumor about the Browns every day, audio courtesy of ESPN. Jason Lloyd in for Ken Carmen. So, Jason, if you thought you got people frustrated with the last segment, perhaps this segment you can redeem yourself. So I'll just flat out ask you at this point, who's going to be the starting quarterback for the Browns in September?
Can we fill out the room first? They have one quarterback on the roster who's healthy.
Kenny Pickett.
So I guess that's your starter. As of right now, they've got nobody else on the roster.
Okay, so I, a couple days ago, made a case, or it was yesterday, made a case to Ken that I could see a pathway for Kenny Pickett to be the starting
100%,
quarterback.
100%, yes.
He lost his mind.
Why?
I think he was assuming that Kenny Pickett was going to be third string. It was just going to be an arm.
They have one quarterback on the roster. So right now, Kenny Pickett's your... Even if they draft a rookie, I mean, Baker sat.
Drake May sat last year to start out and then came in and showed some promise, right?
We just talked about with the Guardians.
Jaden Daniels started week one.
We just talked about with the Guardians. What you look like on opening day isn't necessarily what you look like 2 months later. Who the Browns starting quarterback is in week one isn't necessarily who their quarterback is going to be week... 5, 6, 7.
Well, I will say, if they were to draft Shedeur Sanders at number 2 overall and started Kenny Pickett you know, week one, I think there'd be annoyance. Like, come on, Shador can process. Like, he's a perfect fit for the system. I remember I made those arguments for Baker back when it was Tyrod Taylor or Baker, and I'm like, just start Baker. But things have kind of shifted again, and they kind of do in this league. They go from one end to the other. You are seeing guys sit again to start out, and I don't think the pressure would be there to, like, make the playoffs next year. If they draft Shador, I think fans, yeah, like, Miles wants to make the playoffs, and Joel Bitonio wants to make the playoffs, and they'll be playing their butt off to try to do so. But I think the fans will be like, all right, it's probably not going to be a playoff year. It's not going to be like it was the last few years where it was like playoffs or bust. Did you like that reading of that, or do you think I'm off?
I think it's more goes to the organization and, I mean, the jobs that are at stake and which one gives you a better chance to win right away. Like that, Baker didn't have, Hugh didn't have that in 2018. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, his job wasn't on the line in 2018 when Baker was first brought in. So they felt like they had time where they could sit him. And it, like, really what was what's most interesting to me, played on that clip coming in, is Cam Ward can be had. Like, Titans don't believe in him. Because if you believed in him, if that was your guy, there is no price. You're staying at one. The year of Andrew Luck, is there any trade you could have made with the Colts to get out of that spot?
Trevor Lawrence.
I was just getting, like, and Trevor hasn't turned into what we thought he was going to be.
But at that time.
At that time.
He was a flawless prospect.
Was there any trade you could have given Jacksonville to move off that spot?
Like, was there one for Caleb Williams last year?
Boy, that's a good question, because there was some film stuff that year that the pundits were like, there is some sloppy mechanics here.
Yeah.
But you're right. The way that Caleb, it was still going to always be Caleb.
It was going to be
Caleb.
And that's not this. And, like, the pick is for sale. Like, that's what I took from what Schefter said. The pick is 100% for sale.
I did too.
That doesn't mean they're going to meet the price necessarily. But if you're Tennessee, like, look at this from Tennessee's perspective. Is anybody in trouble getting fired right now? No. The two teams below them, is anybody in trouble getting fired?
Yes.
Yeah. And so you have time in Tennessee that the teams below you don't necessarily have. And if you don't totally love the guy, and you're also looking at a Browns franchise that just gave up 3 first-round picks and $230 million because they were desperate for a franchise quarterback. If you're Tennessee, don't you sit there and go, well, they got all their picks back. Let's see. Let's put the worm on the hook and see. Can we get 3 number ones for this? Can we get 2 number ones? You know what I'm saying?
But, man, do you think the Browns would look bad trading up to get Cam when...
You can't worry about what it looks like.
Because once that trade is made, you're going to be like, they were never taking Cam. Oh, my God. We didn't call their bluff. We should have called their bluff.
But you can't worry about the optics. You can't worry about what it looks like. This is the thing I've been saying all along.
That, to me, I'll tell you, that does, as much as I've talked about, yeah, trading up does make sense if you have Cam as a way better prospect than Shador. If it's 1A, 1B, then
don't.
That's silly.
Right.
But if you have him as a way better prospect than a lot of these people at the combine, have Shador as a second round, at least that's what they say.
Right.
They had him as a second round guy. But Cam has always been a first round, you know, top half of the first round guy from 95%. I know Bucky Brooks had it different, but almost everybody has been in unison saying that. And we were talking the last few days, and I told Ken, yeah, I guess I would trade up. But, you know, now that I really think about it and I've seen all the noise, I think you got to call their bluff. I think you got to call their bluff, because they may not be in love with Cam Ward after all.
They're not.
And so for you to have to trade up to get him, man, you're giving up assets to go get him too. Now, that's the other part of this. On the trade value chart that we've been going over, and Owen, you were all over this, and I know you were looking at just the numbers, and didn't we come away with, hey, it would only take a...
But it wouldn't. Throw the chart out. But it wouldn't. It wouldn't, because you're talking about a quarterback, you're talking about the number one pick. Like, if you look at the chart, yeah. Like, I was looking at this a couple weeks ago. I can't find any trade between 1 and 2 in the NFL. There's never been a swap between 1 and 2. Like, it's weird. There's been 3 to 1. I never found a 2 to 1. And the number one pick has only been traded, like, twice in the last 25 years. For as much as it's talked about.
Wow, that is very interesting.
It hardly ever happens. Like, the two, I just drew a blank. What were the two? Jared Goff was one.
Okay.
And I forget the other one.
Did they count Phillip Rivers and Eli Manning as a trade? I mean, it happened after.
That might have been the other one.
The picks were made.
No, I don't remember. I have all. I can pull it up and I can find it during the break. But it hardly ever happens that one is traded, that the number one pick is traded. And I've never found it between one and two. So that would be a first. And you could come up with 100 reasons probably of why one and two never have gotten together on a swap. But if you're the Browns and you are convinced it's Cam Ward, it has to be Cam Ward, then make the trade. But you have to believe that he's the one and there is no two.
Would they have already known that? Like, so do you think they would need that private workout yesterday? Because now you get into some interesting.
That's very telling to me that Jimmy Haslam got on a plane and went to Miami.
Yeah.
To see Cam Ward. That's very telling. So yeah, I just think Tennessee is telling you the pick is for sale. For whatever reason, whether they don't believe in Cam Ward, whether they believe they have more time, whether they like the quarterbacks better in 26, there's nobody in danger of being fired. They feel like they can hoodwink the Browns into, because they've already done this once. They already traded three number ones once for a quarterback. If you're Tennessee, you don't think they've had that conversation of, hey, they just traded three ones to move up and get their quarterback. And it didn't work. And now they got all their picks back.
So what now can we it's get about squeezing every last
bit
of an asset that they can get
which they
from the
should.
Browns.
That's what they should do. That's what a good organization would do. And if you come to the conclusion that it's not Cam and it's not worth it, then, you know, I'm not sitting here and declaring the number one pick's going to be traded for sure, but it sure sounds like it's for sale if there's somebody who wants to come up and meet the price.
And this is what is so interesting about the spot the Browns in. 216-474-0092. Going to get back to the phones here. That I can find just as many people right now that think the Browns are not staying there. They're trading down. So not only are they not trading up, they are trading down in all of this. And then it's like, well, what was the point of, man, having your owner go down? You're right. Like, it wasn't going to be like Jimmy Haslam was going to be talked out of it by watching him throw at a private workout. Like, that's not going to happen. Are you only doing all of this to try to generate just confusion?
No.
Is there any benefit
They've
whatsoever?
Done a really nice job. I think the Browns have done a really nice job. This trade's like, they are spinning all of us in 100 different directions. Nobody has any idea. And I think part of the reason for the confusion, I said this a couple weeks ago, part of the reason I think for all the confusion at the top of the board is because Tennessee hasn't made a decision yet. Because if there's nothing to hide if you're number one. Like, if you how many times is it that the number one team comes out and says, this is where we're taking Cam Ward, period. That's it. It's over. And that never happened. That hasn't happened. So that has led to a lot of confusion across the board. I think because of the – I just think this is going to be a really volatile draft with quarterbacks because there is no great order. There is no, yeah, okay, Cam looks like the number one. Who's two? Is it really Shador? Is there somebody else? I just think that this could be a draft of a lot of unexpected, where on draft night, there's a lot of, wow, didn't see that coming. Wow, we never talked about that. Just because there is no great order to these guys.
I mean, Albert Breer said if he doesn't get taken in the top three, it is a free fall, potentially, for Shador Sanders. Let's go back to the phones. Patrick in Hudson, next up on The Fan. Welcome to the show, Patrick.
Guys, good morning. You know what? Awesome points this morning. I love to talk. Lima, you just had a good point where I totally agree. I think that the pick is absolutely up for sale, or else he's not saying the things that he's saying. And I think he's doing what he should do. He's trying to get some bait on the pick. Now, I absolutely think that they don't want to take Cam Ward. And my worrisome is that if the Browns don't trade up, and they call their bluff, is that another team is still going to go up there for that number one pick at that point. And then we're still going to lose on Cam Ward. So I'll be honest, that's who I want. I don't want to wait another year for another quarterback class that you never know how those things turn out and happen. If that's your guy, and it seems to be because you're not flying down to Miami with your owner, your head coach, and your GM for no reason, is absolutely, other than hopefully not trading another first-round pick, and hopefully not giving up that 33rd overall pick. Man, do what you got to do to go get that guy.
All right, thank you for the call. By the way, speaking of next year's draft, I mean, I've seen so many fans go, just wait till next year's the year. Next year's the year. Arch Manning, he's thrown 95 passes.
No, I know.
And in his college career.
And like, I wrote that in December. And the whole point to that was Jimmy Haslam has been in love with the Manning family for 20 years. You don't think he'd love to get his hands on Arch? Now, who's to say Arch even comes out after next year?
Yeah, we don't know.
Or that he's going to be any good. But it's
Or is Jimmy one of the boosters and paying him NIL to stay in Tennessee? But that would be a weird twist, right? Depending on where the Browns are drafting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this year is certainly an anomaly with quarterbacks. Typically, there's more than... Typically, the best quarterback in the draft isn't four in any other year, three or four in any other year. And that seems to be the case with this. So you would think that next year, but it's all a risk, of course. Of course it's all a risk. It's all a calculated risk. Certainly the names next year on paper seem to look a little bit more appealing than what you have to pick from this year. But I totally get fans not wanting to wait another year. I get it. But that may be the reality that they're in.
Mike in Stowe. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Morning, Anthony. Jason, welcome. Nice to see you on the show today. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Mike.
So, I heard you last night, Anthony. I agree with what you put on there about, I think they should have been at that pro day. I really do. So, I'm just going to put that out there. But here's the thing. Ben Newberry takes quarterback one or two guys. He's putting his ass on the line. That's for sure. And he's not going to do that because they're not worth putting his butt on the line. I just don't think so. And for people who think Cam Ward is just, we need other people. Stuff, guys, we cannot go up and give up more assets to get a quarterback who's still a risk at one. He's not a Andrew Luck, you know, like you guys brought up. You know, I'm not saying you're comparing him to that, but that's the kind of guy you go up to one to get, not a guy who half the league's not even sold on.
But you can't go up to get Andrew Luck because he's not for sale.
No, I understand that, Jason. What I'm saying is this is not an Andrew Luck. I don't see why you give up more assets to go get this guy when you have an offensive line that is not fixed yet. You have, and they're old, and you need a lot more than just a quarterback. You can't throw a guy to the wolves like that, and you're going to draft a guy that's going to probably have to start then if you take him that early. It just doesn't fit. It doesn't make sense.
All right, thank you, Mike.
Fans can't throw a guy to the wolves like that. Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski, who might be on their last couple months living in Cleveland, they can definitely throw a guy to the wolves.
And I will also continue to say this. Like, if anybody thinks just taking Abdul Carter, who now has injury concerns that he's going to come into the league with, and I think he's a fine player. I don't think he's generational like Myles Garrett or anything remotely like that. But if anybody truly thinks that that's a safe pick, Jason, if they win four or five games with the safe pick of Abdul Carter, I think they're all getting fired. I don't care what kind of contract extensions everybody got. I don't care how Jimmy Haslam and them might all be on the same page today.
That's a really complicated conversation because
I don't think it is. No, I think this town will be done with the Browns.
No, I think it is.
Season ticket holders are all going to say, we're out, and I think the Haslams will go, hey, we can get anybody we can hire anybody that can win four or five games in consecutive years.
If it's the conversations that you're having in that building, if you're sitting down with Jimmy, if you're Andrew Berry and his staff and Kevin, whoever, and you look at these quarterbacks and you go, this is a really bad time to be looking for a quarterback because we don't like we don't believe in these guys. How can you take a quarterback you don't believe in? And if you I said this before, you can only shop in the aisle where the food is, where the groceries are. And if that's the groceries you have to pick from, if you come to a consensus as a franchise that this just isn't good enough and we're going to have to wait, well, now you have to trust the owner to have the patience. And that's where I don't know that you can necessarily trust him to have. Like, it's easy. That's the part I guess I agree with you on. It's easy for Jimmy to sit here in March and say, okay, we're going to wait. But then you get to October and November. No. It's hard. I don't know that you can trust them to continue to hold on. This is a terrible year to go looking for a quarterback.
Both in the draft and
free agency. Yeah, wherever. This is like the worst possible time for this to happen. And that's just the reality of where they're at, that they very well, for the health of the organization, may be better off waiting another year. And now you have to trust the owner to have the patience to see that out. And that's a really big gamble.
Finally, the Cavs are coming home. Tonight against San Antonio, 7 o'clock. So it'll be nice. Get a little Guardians action. Then that'll end. You go right over to the Cavs. It looks like, Evan Mobley is going to be out of this game. As you see the rest of the season, I think that's kind of what they're going to be doing.
Somebody's going to be out every game.
They should.
Yeah, I don't.
They
have
nothing to play for right now.
You know, maybe you'd make the argument, but how are they going to get back on the same page? It's like basketball is not...
Stop it.
It's not the NFL.
Stop it.
It's not the NFL. Like, in the NFL, there is a split on whether or not teams even... You take the bye because of health.
Right.
But there are a bunch of NFL guys around the league who are like, it's not good. It's not good
for
a playoff run.
One bad day can ruin your season.
Right. Right.
Here you get a chance.
Yeah, I mean, I think it takes you 5 minutes to get your bearings down, and then you're good to go.
Are we allowed to talk about the Cavs championship run? Can I make that comparison, or is it so irrelevant and that, like, it's not even worth talking about? Because one of the things that I think that they did, like, talking about time off and rest, one of the things that they did that really helped their cause was the way that they would sweep teams. Like, they would, and then they'd get a week off, and they'd get off their feet for a week.
And think about what happened in 2016. Steph Curry was fighting for his life in that series, you know, right before.
Yeah, with the Thunder.
The Western Conference Finals went seven games. Yeah. They came from behind. Like, that was huge. Well, it doesn't get talked about a lot. It doesn't get talked about because Golden State got out to a 3-1 lead.
Right.
But the totality of that playoff
and that's
run.
And that's the point of that. And David Griffin said that when I wrote the book after the championship, Griff said, like, the finals is a war of attrition. And people don't realize the physical toll that it takes on you to play these games night after night, series after series, and the Warriors losing Bogut, you know, stuff like that. And just for the fact that the Cavs, and they were a little bit of an older team, for them to be able to get off their feet for a week, to have all that time off between series, I think was a massive, massive advantage that they have. So rest now, yes, of course you want to rest, guys. It's the end of March. Like, 70s off the table, all that stuff, and that it's probably not a bad thing that's out of reach at this point.
You didn't need them pushing for that stuff. No.
Just chip and putt your way. Get to the end of the season. Make sure guys are healthy. Whatever's going on with Donovan, give him as much time off as he needs. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, especially with that groin situation.
And just be ready to go. Because remember, I mean, Donovan had the knee thing throughout the second half last year. Donovan was not good the first couple games of the Orlando series. At all. So get him as much rest as you need right now. It doesn't matter. And get these guys ready to go for the playoffs.
All right. So the Cavaliers had that 4-game losing streak. I didn't really sense the panic. I know people were alleging that, like, radio was panicking. It's like, we weren't. But I will say, if there was one thing that may have gotten exposed, which I think is just kind of the reality of the NBA, that, you know, wing players, when they are on, you can't really guard them in this league. And Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant, and even DeMar DeRozan kind of had their way against us. Now, I know we're not going balls to the walls like we were earlier in the season, but I think even in a playoff series, that would be that's tough to stop, right? Even with DeAndre Hunter.
Yeah.
Now, you got a guy that's better suited because of his length.
Sure.
And you got more guys to throw at, you know, those opposing players. But that was the only thing that I did notice. And I will say, you know, I watched Boston. I watched the first half of that game last night against the Suns. When they didn't have Tatum. When Porzingis is healthy, I think Celtics are the best team. And I don't think that's changed.
But I didn't need the West Coast trip to know that. Like, we were talking, like, does the West Coast solidify the Cavs? Well, no, we didn't need the West Coast trip to solidify. That doesn't mean the Cavs can't win a series. Of course they can. They could beat Boston in a 7-game series.
Which I didn't think they could. I honestly did not think they could until they got DeAndre Hunter.
See, I thought they could before DeAndre. Because Boston is like Team ADD. And you just never know which version is going to show up or when they're going to lose interest and when they're going to see a squirrel and zone out for 6 minutes. The fact that the Cavs kept that series last year is, I know they lost in five, but they were in those games, and as beat up as they were and without Donovan, like, Boston can be got. And adding Hunter only adds to that, but they, to me, are still the team to beat because they are the defending champs. They've got two monsters on the wing, and until you do it in the postseason, they have to be the favorite. But I wholeheartedly believe the Cavs can beat that team.
I think that, and yes, 216-474-0092. I mean, you've seen, like, the Cavs aren't afraid of Boston.
No.
And Donovan Mitchell, I would say, because I know I have friends and media cohorts in Boston, that I could tell you they are scared, legitimately scared of Donovan Mitchell. That when Donovan Mitchell is going up against them and he is, you know, asserting himself, like, he can be the best player in any of those games. Over Tatum, over Brown, over Porzingis. With all of that said, I watched Porzingis last night, and I'm like, he is unguardable.
He's a game changer.
He is unguardable, and he's also an interior presence defensively. You don't think of him that way.
Yeah.
But every time we play them, like, we just kind of got to get by one guy, and it can be a layup line in regular season games. when he's there in the playoffs, he dramatically alters things. Like, I think Darius struggles when Porzingis is in there. Well, he just struggles against Boston in particular. And I just think they throw you, they give you a different look. And his health is so paramount to their success and them looking like the Boston Celtics. Like, if he's healthy all year, what is their record? I know they're not necessarily gunning for any special record or anything, but I just think they're a different team.
With Porzingis? Yeah, they're really good without him. They're a monster with him. And that's, you have to assume health at this point, and they're going to have everybody available, and that makes the challenge that much greater. And that's a big reason. Like, I don't think the Cavs hid from the fact that they went out and got DeAndre Hunter because of Boston. To match up, and not just Porzingis, but just the length that they pose on the perimeter and the problems that has caused a team like the Cavs in the past. That's the whole reason DeAndre Hunter's here. And the Darius thing's interesting because, they've used – in the past, I'm not saying they're going to do this in the playoffs, but in the past, they've used Darius to guard Tatum on switches. And that takes a lot out of Darius, I think,
right,
on the defensive end that we don't ever talk about.
I think that is a huge point that people will look at the numbers. By the metrics, the Cavs' defense is fine against Boston. But I think it kind of kills Darius over the course of a series to have to worry about all of that and get physical the way that Jaylen Brown just goes right at him, right?
Yeah.
And Tatum hasn't in the regular season. I think the playoffs, Tatum will, I think, use more of his game. I think he might be kind of pacing himself. I think that stuff takes a lot out of Darius, where that energy that he exerts actually costs him on offense.
Sure it does. But part of it was also Boston would get a switch on Tatum on Darius, and then Tatum would take him into the paint. And you'd rather JT shooting from 6 feet than three-pointers.
Yes.
So there's a lot that goes into that, but it does take a toll on Darius on the offensive end. But you're not going to do that throughout for seven games in an entire 48 minutes of a seven-game series. You're not going to have Darius switching on to Tatum. The Cavs are going to mix up some of their defensive coverages, but that's just one sort of thing to point out when you mentioned Darius' struggles against Boston. I think some of it has to do with what they ask him to do on the defensive end in that series.
All right, 216-474-0092. I want to hear from Cavs fans when we come back, as the Celtics rolled last night against the Suns. They did it without Tatum, and that was the same Suns team that, quite frankly, they just looked better than us when we played them. It was at their place. It was on the West Coast during that trip. Also, how concerning is this big drop-off from Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell since February?